You're listening to the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. Today is July 2nd, 2013. First up in the news this week, here's a recent court decision from Reuters. This is dated San Diego, Monday, July 1st. Yoga in school, not the same as teaching religion, California judge rules. Reuters, a California judge refused on Monday to block the teaching of yoga as part of a public school's physical fitness program, rejecting parents' claims that the classes were an unconstitutional promotion of Eastern religions. Judge John Meyer acknowledged that yoga, at its roots, is religious, but added that the modern practice of yoga, despite its origins in Hindu philosophy, is deeply ingrained in secular U.S. society and is a distinctly American cultural phenomenon. He also said the Encinitas Unified School District had developed its own version of yoga that was not religious but distinct and separate from Ashtanga yoga. A reasonable student would not objectively perceive that Encinitas School District yoga does advance or promote religion, he said. While school district officials were pleased by the ruling, the lawyer for the parents said they probably will appeal. If yoga is a religion and has religious aspects, it doesn't belong in the public schools, said Dean Broyles, who represents Stefan and Jennifer Sedlock, whose two children opted out of yoga for physical education. There is a consistent anti-Christian bias in these cases and a pro-Eastern or strange religion bias. Encinitas, about 20 miles north of San Diego, began a pilot yoga program in one of its 9 elementary schools in 2011. About 40 to 45 students out of the 5,500 in the district were taken out of the classes by their parents. The Sedlocks filed suit against the district in February, arguing that yoga is inherently religious and asking teaching of the classes be banned. The parents claimed that children who opted out of the program faced bullying and teasing. Their suit expressed concern that the school district had implemented the program with a $500,000 grant from the Zhuai Foundation, which promotes Ashtanga yoga. The case was the latest twist in a broader national clash over the separation of religion from public education that has seen spirited debate on issues ranging from the permissibility of student-led prayer to whether science instructors can teach alternatives to evolution. The plaintiffs objected to 8-limbed tree posters with Sanskrit characters that they said were derived from Hindu beliefs, as well as to the use of the namaste greeting in class and several yoga poses said to represent worship of Hindu deities. But by the start of the 2012-2013 school year, the Sanskrit and namaste had been eliminated from the program, and poses had been renamed with kid-friendly descriptions, poses now called gorilla, turtle, peacock, big toe, telephone, and other terms according to testimony. The lotus pose, for example, is called crisscross applesauce in Encinitas schools. However, the plaintiff's expert, professor of religious studies, Candy Gunther Brown, testified that yoga practice indoctrinates Hindu religious practices whether the individual knows it or not. Brown cited research suggesting yoga practice changes the user's brain and thoughts, a sort of gateway drug to the occult, Meyer said. The judge did not agree with her, saying Dr. Brown has an obvious bias and can almost be called being on a mission against yoga. School District Superintendent Timothy Baird applauded the ruling and pointed out that the district had been represented for free by lawyers provided by parents whose kids take yoga in the district. We always want our parents to be happy, and we try to work with our parents on everything we do, Baird said. Isn't that sad? Now, as an editorial aside here, I would note that I pointed out to my friend earlier this morning that, did you ever notice that every scene you've ever seen in the locker room just before the big game, the whole team goes into a huddle, and what do? They pray. How about that? What about that separation of religion from public education, people? What about that? And what about those brain changes, those ones that keep you from being uptight and having your brain all clenched in a knot? Might be spiritual, but it has very little to do with religion unless you yourself are religious. Just a thought. Now I have another little news item for you here, also from Reuters. Top Vatican bank managers resign after Monsignor's arrest. Vatican City, Monday, July 1st, 2013. Reuters, two top managers of the scandal-plagued Vatican Bank resigned on Monday following the arrest of a high-ranking cleric with close ties to the financial institution in the latest of a string of embarrassments for the Holy See. Director Paolo Cipriani and Deputy Director Massimo Tulli stepped down 3 days after the Vatican was rocked by the arrest of Monsignor Nunzio Scariano, who was accused of plotting with two other people to smuggle 20 million euros into Italy from Switzerland. Ernst von Freiberg, a German who earlier this year became president of the bank, officially known as the Institute for Works of Religion, IOR, will assume the role of bank director until a permanent replacement is appointed. The bank has also established a new position of chief risk officer who will be charged with improving compliance with financial regulations at a bank, which has long been a byword for secrecy and lack of transparency. Scariano, 61, who worked as a senior accountant in the Vatican's financial administration, was arrested along with an Italian Secret Service agent and a financial intermediary. Now, doesn't this suggest to you that they arrested a Secret Service agent and a financial intermediary and two more people high up quit, that there's a lot more to the story? According to transcripts from a judge's report, Scariano, who was under two separate investigations by Italian magistrates in Rome and Milan, mentioned the director in phone conversations tapped by police investigators. The judge's report, obtained by Reuters, says Scariano controlled vast amounts of money and felt he could act with impunity because of his connections to the Vatican Bank. Only last Wednesday, 2 days before the arrests, Pope Francis set up a commission of inquiry into the Vatican Bank, which has been hit by a number of scandals in the past decades. Scariano was for years a senior accountant for a Vatican department known as APSA, whose official title is the Administration of the Patrimony of the Apostolic See. Magistrates have said there is no indication so far that the Vatican Bank was directly involved in the attempt to bring the money into Italy, but that the investigation was continuing and more searches were underway. Scariano was suspended from his duties several weeks ago when he was placed under investigation by magistrates in Salerno. In that investigation, his lawyer, Silverio Sica, said wealthy friends had donated money to Scariano in order for him to build a home for the terminally ill. According to Sica, his client wanted to use that money to pay off his mortgage so he could sell a property in Salerno and use the proceeds to build the care home. Scariano has been accused of taking 560,000 euros in cash out of his account in the Vatican Bank and giving various amounts to friends who gave him checks in exchange, and apparently in a bid to cover his tracks. He then deposited the checks into an Italian bank account to pay off the mortgage. The case against Carano came as an embarrassment to Francis, who, since his election in March, has pointedly eschewed many of the trappings of office and sought to stress the importance of a simple life of devotion. The IOR, tarnished by accusations of failing to meet international transparency standards intended to combat money laundering and tax evasion, is trying to clean up its image after a long history of scandals. Its most notorious incident came in 1982, when it was enmeshed in the bankruptcy of Italy's Banco Ambrosiano, whose chairman, Roberto Calvi, was found hanging from London's Blackfriars Bridge. In 2010, Rome magistrates investigating money laundering froze 23 million euros, $33 million, held by the IOR in an Italian bank. The IOR said it was transferring its own funds between accounts in Italy and Germany. The money was released in June 2011, but the investigation continues. The European Anti-Money Laundering Committee, MoneyVal, said in a July report that the IOR still had to enact more reforms in order to meet international standards against money laundering. The Vatican is due to give MoneyVal a progress report this year. And now on to your favorite part, Harper's Weekly Review, dated today, July 2nd, 2013. The U.S. Supreme Court voided a section of the 1965 Voting Rights Act that determined which states and counties were required, based on their histories of curtailing voting rights on account of race or color, to obtain federal pre-approval for changes to their election laws, nullified Proposition 8, California's ban on same-sex marriage, and overturned the portion of the 1996 U.S. Defense of Marriage Act that denied same-sex partners the federal rights extended to married couples. Throwing out preclearance when it has worked and is continuing to work to stop discriminatory changes is like throwing away your umbrella in a rainstorm because you are not getting wet, wrote Ruth Bader Ginsburg in her Voting Rights Act dissent. The Constitution neither requires nor forbids our society to approve of same-sex marriage, much as it neither requires nor forbids us to approve of no-fault divorce, polygamy, or the consumption of alcohol, wrote Antonin Scalia in his DOMA dissent, which referred to the majority opinion as legalistic argle-bargle. A secret CIA memo about the leaking of secrets was leaked. A U.S. Treasury Inspector General found that IRS employee credit cards had been used to purchase stovepipe hats, kazoos, bathtub toys, romance novels, internet porn, and diet pills. A California immigration officer was indicted for soliciting a bribe of 200 egg rolls, and the U.S. Senate voted 68-32 to pass a comprehensive immigration reform bill. The Texas State Senate failed to pass a stringent anti-abortion bill before the midnight end of a special legislative session. The vote was delayed by Senator Wendy Davis, Democrat, who held a nearly 11-hour filibuster that required her to speak continuously while standing without the aid of a platform or a restroom break, and that ended after Republicans claimed she'd broken rules by going off topic and accepting help in donning a back brace. Hours after the bill failed to pass, Governor Rick Perry announced a second special legislative session commencing July 1st. It's just unfortunate that she hasn't learned from her own example, said Perry of Davis, whose mother received only a sixth grade education. What if her mom had said, "I just can't do this. I don't want to do this. In Egypt, at least 7 people died amid demonstrations to protest fuel lineups, power outages, unemployment, and sectarian divisions, and to demand the resignation of President Mohamed Morsi on the 1-year anniversary of his election. Police openly revolted against the government and refused to intervene as protests shone laser pens to identify targets inside the darkened headquarters of the Muslim Brotherhood Party, then hurled Molotov cocktails at them. Party members discharged birdshot to defend their offices and assembled to defend the presidential palace armed with batons, pipes, and woks. Defense Minister and Army Commander-in-Chief Abdel Fattah al-Sisi warned on state TV that if Morsi didn't respond to protesters within 48 hours, the military would impose its own roadmap for Egypt's future. "Do you have an initiative?" a Morsi spokesman asked journalists at a midnight news conference. "We're willing to consider it seriously." Palestine's prime minister resigned 2 weeks into his appointment because of conflicts with his deputies, and the emir of Qatar transferred power to his 33-year-old son. Costa Rica accused a Venezuelan state company of attempting to launder $9.7 million by purchasing 10 million bars of soap. Prosecutors in Rome were investigating Monsignor Nunzio Scarano for plotting to shelter $26 million at the Vatican Bank. Ah, that's the story. And the owner of the Yorkshire Tavern in Albufeira, Portugal, was fined £700 for gambling with biscuits on a bingo game with other British and Irish expats. A black bear broke into the Knoxville Zoo. A memorial was held for 50,000 bees killed in an Oregon parking lot by the pesticide safari. And 7 hikers were rescued in Hawaii's Palolo Valley after they got lost while fleeing a group of wild pigs. Transport Canada investigated 3 claims that Mississauga, Ontario, was being bombarded by fecal matter leaking from airplane restrooms. "There's no way one bird could have done it," said a man whose driveway was soiled, "unless it was a pterodactyl." A Crimean man stabbed his neighbor to death after she dumped his homemade borscht into a toilet. A man in Erie, Pennsylvania, had his condom stolen at knife point. A naked man high on hallucinogenic mushrooms broke into a Ypsilanti, Michigan middle school and tore off part of his penis. And a California woman who cut off her ex-husband's penis and dumped it into a garbage disposal was sentenced to life in prison, ladies. "Deep down," said her former spouse, "I was hoping for a stronger sentence." 2 brothers who busk in New York City Times Square as the film characters Alien and Predator were questioned by police about a ballpoint pen attack allegedly committed by a busker named Beer Man against a rival busker named Weed Man in a Box. Scientists revealed that plants are capable of complex arithmetic. And Wales Powys Council admitted that it had been trimming the wrong lawns for 15 years. Cooling centers were opened in Arizona, California, and Nevada to help residents prepare for a record-breaking heat wave. In the Indian state of Uttarakhand, where more than 1,000 people died in flash floods and landslides, a TV reporter was fired for filming a broadcast from atop the shoulders of a flood survivor. "You have to be a part of the people," said the reporter's boss, "and not ride on them." Yeah. This article by Ryan Liebenthal. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we have finally reached the end of the Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. And like I say every week, people, be good to each other and stay the heck out of the news. Have a good weekend.